Welcome to the Geek Psychology Podcast. This podcast comes from the Geek Psychology YouTube channel, where we use personality type and geek and gaming culture to help you play life better. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being you. And I hope you enjoy the show.
It's not professional.
Hi. Welcome to the INFP Reading Hour.
Hey, Mikey. He likes it.
I don't know how books work.
Did you know that there are two different styles of extroverted intuiting that are working beyond the normal stereotypes that people express with extroverted intuiting? There is an analytic side and a holistic side. Let's go into the differences between those in this book, Decode Your Personality, Go Beyond Myers-Briggs with 64 brain-based subtypes. I'm going to read through it. And you're going to hear the words that Dr. Dario Nardi wrote, as well as my experience as an INFP who uses extroverted intuiting as his auxiliary function. Here we go. Extroverted intuiting, NE. Extroverted intuiting, NE, is a favorite dinner time topic. I was just staying for a couple of weeks with Antonia Dodge and Joel Marquette of Personality Hacker at their farm in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And they have ENTP and ENFP preferences. She's the ENTP and he's the ENFP. And they have different versions of NE in a non-stereotypical way. Even though he's ENFP with a feeling preference, he identifies with the analytic version of NE. And even though she's ENTP with a thinking preference, she identifies with the holistic version of NE. Note, they've talked about this on podcasts, and I'm not giving away something personal here. What do these two sides of NE look like? First of all, if you don't know Personality Hacker, you definitely need to check them out. They are awesome. Personality Hacker was the reason why I got into cognitive functions and to be able to be on video talking about them, and studied so much from their podcasts when I first started learning about the cognitive functions and personality type. I didn't know at the time my friend was an ENFP because I didn't know anything about Myers-Briggs. I was like, well, he's like a warrior and I'm like a rogue. And this girl over here that keeps like flirting and then running away, she's kind of like a warlock or shaman. She's like dropping totems. And, you know, my friend over here is like a druid. And so I had this assessment that I made in my head. And I talked to my ENFP friend about it all the time. And then I shared my distillation of it on Reddit one time. And somebody told me I should check out Personality Hacker's podcast and explore the Myers-Briggs and cognitive functions. And when I did, my whole brain just like exploded wide with all these different possibilities. Very fitting of extroverted intuiting. And I was just taking notes. Oh, this is kind of like this character. And I just refined it, which eventually became the RPG model, which I teach heavily in Path of Heroes Academy, poha.geekpsychology.com. Wink, wink. Let's continue. Analytic Yang NE, the marketer. Analytic or Yang NE is like the person who's pitching the wonders of Barnum and Bailey's circus. They're juggling all these different and often unusual ideas, and they're putting on a show with those while looking for a return. There's a large number of potential possibilities and a lot of excitement around those, and they're throwing whatever comes against the wall to see what sticks. I often say that it feels like I'm just, again, throwing spaghetti against the wall and seeing what sticks. There's so many different combinations and possible ways of fusing these different ideas together, and then something cool is going to emerge out of it. It always does. If you get enough variety of items or ideas, concepts, people in the same room, something cool comes out of it. And again, that is what Path of Heroes Academy kind of came from. It's neurolinguistic programming and hypnosis and cognitive functions, a bit of Enneagram, character design, story. It's just like all these things that I really like, RPGs, superheroes put together, like fused together in this innovative way. Any users do a lot to make interesting things happen in an open-ended way. Sometimes these sound too interesting, as in when you listen to them, you easily wonder about the story they're telling. Is that real, or did he sort of do that, or is he just making it up? Well, they themselves likely don't know. It's a mix. It's a mix. They're busy finding out what's possible, what can fit when, and how. They're recruiting people. Ideas are flying. Cakes are in the oven. They're keeping a lot of balls up in the air at once, each a different color. They're injecting a super enthusiastic energy. Except for the occasional down day, they are out in the world interacting. Usually, there's a lot of chit-chat, hat-tipping, and hand-waving. I don't do much chit-chat or hand-waving. Maybe some bowing, but that's a different thing. Definitely a lot of cakes in the oven. I think of my, idea generation process. And this is something I learned from Brandish Gilhelm in Runehammer, which used to be called Dungeons or Drunkens and Dragons. Having a lot of buckets and some core key buckets that you fill up every once in a while. You play in this one or fill up this bucket a little bit, like a course creation, fill up this one a little bit, like game design, fill up this one a bit, story writing, right? And just kind of bounce around and play with them. And I do my best to limit those, but even doing so, I still have so many open-ended projects. These NE users actively court, not risk per se, as in actual physical danger, uncertainty. Risk is more extroverted sensing, and uncertainty is more extroverted intuiting. I like that differentiation. Risk and uncertainty. NE users are cool with uncertainty, especially the analytic side of NE. And as a part of this, there's a calculating element, and it can feel sales-like and at the cutting edge of things. They're adept at marketing, and usually they find the right image or phrase to energize people. I've only seen one episode of the TV show Better Call Saul, so maybe I shouldn't name it, but that element, that approach, is unmistakable. This NE user might be talking about UFOs as a new kind of investment opportunity, stage plays they're producing, or the next wave in medical innovations. That is right now just over the horizon. They're out there churning stuff, shifting the situation, and all of it just seems to work, albeit somewhat chaotically, at least for a while, or at least things appear to be working. Generally, analytic NE users are like the Wizard of Oz. There's a yellow brick road, a genius behind the curtain pulling strings, a great story, and in general, an amazing dog and pony show. They can be wonderful at getting buy-in from others around change and negotiating a mutually satisfying path to that change, because life is as much about journeys as it is destinations. Okay, so that's the end of the analytic yang aspect of NE. I feel in my explorations of moving to Japan when I was 18 and not knowing the language and trying to figure out how to communicate, I refer to it as being in baby mode. Like, I don't know. I didn't even know what to eat, how to feed myself, where to go. I remember thinking a real estate business was a fast food restaurant. I remember walking in there and being like, what? What is this? This is not going to give me hamburgers. No hamburgers from the real estate place. But as I learned to communicate, I had to find ways to get to what I wanted to say because I couldn't go straight there. I had to use the words that I knew and combine them, put them together in some unique way to communicate the idea that I wanted. And that stuck with me as a very powerful lesson in communication, in my potential of using extroverted intuiting, being able to find a way to get to whatever idea or concept that I wanted to communicate. And it's really stuck with me. And when I was in the dating game, I was I would set my mind to a specific topic that I wanted to talk about and just trust that my NE would allow me to jump off the right stones in a river and find my way to that conversation. They might say something and I could respond to that and kind of bounce around with it and play with that conversation until it got towards the direction that I wanted to talk about. Not in a manipulative, hurtful way, but it was a way to enjoy the conversation more. I was not going to be excited or enjoying a conversation that's talking about the weather again, or where I'm from again, or how old I am again. Doesn't matter, right? So I would think of some other interesting topic to get the conversation to go in that direction. And I think maybe this NE version can do that. Holistic Yin NE, the catalyst. Then there is the catalyst NE user. Let me describe them in this way. I had a student in my lab and she was wearing the brain imaging cap and clear on her ENFP preferences and sitting there between the tasks and not doing anything that I've given her. She's not obviously keeping herself busy. She just seems to be sitting there, but her brain is super active and I ask her, what's going on? What are you thinking about? And she indicates two students on the other side of the lab and replies, I'm observing those two students there. And I'm imagining different kinds of interactions they could be having. Oh, see, this is what gets tricky here. Because that is definitely part of NE and my experience of it as well, is this explosion of ideas and stories connected to the things that are around me. So I'm not focusing necessarily on the sensory world, but that is a springboard to new ideas, to new stories, to imagining possibilities. This yin of any version is more focused on questions like, what is the world showing me? What patterns am I noticing? And maybe what magic can I help draw out from that? Often there's a gentle, quiet humor and perhaps negotiating towards some win-win outcome, an outcome to be decided like magic. It's subtle. It's not circus or stage magic. It's the kind of magic in one of those ENFP romance movies like Amelie. I haven't actually seen it.
Amelia.
The main character, cute and unassuming, just smiles, mumbles some vague wordage, and somehow discovers something wonderful at just the perfect moment because the character is actually incredibly attentive to what is going on around here. Maybe? I don't think anybody would actually call me attentive. I miss so many things. But when I'm like walking around outside, I am watching people. Like I'm picking up some of the things, but like buildings, I have no idea. Like my environment beyond people, I tend to not notice at all. I can get lost in my neighborhood here, and I've lived here for like 8 years. I still am like, is it this road or this one? I don't know. I do know, but I do question it. And my 6-year-old daughter's like, Daddy, this way. Horrible at directions. I used to call my dad when I was driving to my dad's house from my house. It was like a 2-hour drive to Detroit. And I would call him on my phone at like the same off-ramp every time. He told me that. He was like, you call me every time at the same place. Like, this is the one. Remember, this is the one that you got to get off at. But I would do it again and again. This was before GPS.
Back in my day.
The question, what patterns am I noticing, doesn't really come up as something that I feel like I'm good at in terms of, like, I don't ask that question to myself. When I'm doing, like client work, like, is this a beliefs issue? Is it an unconscious issue? Is it a conscious issue? Is it tied to actual actions? I have to consciously think of those different dichotomies and those categories in order to be like, okay, let's now go meta to this and say, what is all this an example of? Just my daily life, it does pop up as like, oh, this person's wanting to do this or needing to do this, and that's their intention, probably because of something in their past. Like I can compile that really quickly when I'm not thinking about it, but in a client session, there's like more intention to it. These NE users are naturally talented as therapists. They don't even need to say much. They're just like, oh, they ask you a question or they sort of throw out something and they hear the words you give back and they notice how your voice tone highlights certain words over others and so on. They're pinging you or the whole situation and they're building up a picture or model of it and then they're like, oh, they notice where they can move a block or shift a thread. They can remove this block from the Jenga tower and wow, it still stands and the story continues. It turns out they pulled out the block that's made of gold. If you ask how they did it, they don't even know. Going back to the coaching example, I've learned to pull out metaphors. If somebody says, it feels like I'm banging my head against the wall, okay, that is clearly a metaphor, and I play with that as a metaphor. I'm stuck. Okay, that is another metaphor that's being represented within their mental space or their representation of how the world works. I'm being overwhelmed by all this pressure. Okay, that's another metaphor, but I've learned to pull that out. Maybe I would have had a natural inkling to go in that direction. I guess I did because I learned about it and got certification for it. But I've kind of trained myself to do those. So it doesn't feel like it's a natural thing that just pops up. These any catalysts use humor and disguise, hesitation and misdirection, and overall, they like to include and promote others. Rather than pushing a lot of different potential possibilities, they're more about quality because yin focuses on quality. And they're more like, how can I nurture the best quality of this potential possibility? They're not trying to force the magical moments or actively create them, but to be attentive to when the moments can really manifest on their own. And then doing that little thing that draws someone's attention. And the result is, wow. When I was 18, I was interested in going to Japan on the Japan Adventure program from Lansing Community College in Michigan. And I had just read Celestine Prophecy, and that book taught me that I should follow those little moments where there's some sort of spark of curiosity, or there's someone who reminds me of somebody else, and I feel a little bit, at least, compelled to talk to them or to engage with that situation. And then I would like force myself to do it. I would say, okay, you got to do it. 3, 2, 1, go, you know, go talk to this person. And that guy that I'm specifically thinking of became one of my best friends. And that doesn't feel like it's just a magical moment that's happening. Like, I can be aware of it, but I need to put intention and attention into it to actually turn it into something, to be a catalyst for the event or for the situation. Like, it's there, it's waiting, it's inert though. And it's something that could just pass by, or something that I could interact with and have it change. And I think that feels more like the analytic side than the holistic side, because maybe there's a desire to like pour some fuel on it. Sorting flavors of NE. I should say I'm describing NE here in a fairly playful way. Both sides of NE have negative consequences too. Yin NE can be fairly manipulative, and with its passive style, it may waste a lot of time daydreaming and allowing others to drive events, and then these NE users wonder how they got left behind. Yep, that one, the negative side of that rings a bell. Meanwhile, Yang NE can be quite overwhelming. These folks can waste a lot of energy throwing around tons of ideas, and when they're immature or lack follow-through, or the ideas are just really ungrounded, then it all comes up to naught. There was a great amount of talk amounting to nothing. Yeah, that one makes a bit of sense too. I do feel like I spend a lot of time throwing around ideas and playing with ideas, but I also have leaned into that intentionally, knowing that it's a numbers game. Thinking that it's a numbers game, maybe that's my belief and it making me lean towards Yang analytic NE, but thinking that if I just come up with more ideas, then one of those combinations is going to work. Or like, I'm looking at my wall here, I have a bunch of sticky notes of these different like modalities for change work, and I needed to see them all up in front of me, and a lot of them, in order to move them around and piece them together and get something cool to emerge from it. And most of those combinations cannot work out. Statistically, I don't think it would be possible for even 5% of all my ideas to come to fruition. To return to Joel and Antonia, Joel, the ENFP, marketer and video maker, is more analytic. while Antonia, the ENTP, coach and type theorist, is more holistic. So these two sides of NE are not about thinking and feeling flavors of NE. It's not like NFPs are quiet catalysts and NTPs are wild marketers. Those are stereotypes and reasons why people get confused, wondering if they are ENFP or ENTP, for example, or ENFP or ENFJ, or whatnot. Once you know enough people of the same type, you'll notice there's a lot of variety. If you practice a side of a function that people don't instantly associate with a certain type, they might think that you're some other type, typically an adjacent one, even though you're actually your type. And so this is where mistyping can happen when we know only one side of a function. That happens a lot. I feel that it's quite difficult to type people because you're only seeing a slice of their existence and their story. Now it's different in a like profiling session where you get to ask them about that and you get clarification, like, why do you do this thing? Why is this thing so important to you? What's the goal? What's the benefit of doing that action? But if you're just watching somebody on a video or in a movie or seeing a brief interview on TV, you're getting this mix of like persona and ego and highlighting different aspects of themselves. And then the questions from the interviewer, for example, are going to shape how the conversation turns out too. So there's a lot of different dynamics that go in there. And that's why, like, when somebody types a certain person and they're so like convicted about it, I think it causes some issues. Sometimes they might be right. You can get correct answers with that, but also it can create some confusion. So which version of extroverted intuiting, what I call the innovating explorer, fits best with you? I want to know down below in the comments. Please share your insights, share your experiences with whichever flavor of those that you have. Or if you're a different type and NE is not one of your main four cognitive functions, then please let us know what you think about extroverted intuiting, because it's a wild world. And if you want to know more about the extroverted intuiting style of brain pattern that Dario Nardi found within his brain scans, then please check out this video over here. And it's an old one, but it'll get you there. Thanks for listening, and I hope you got something out of it. I know that by listening to this podcast, it means that you're ready to take your life to the next level, and I'm so excited to help you do it. Whether you're struggling with anxiety, lack of motivation, or you're just looking for your spark and purpose, I have many courses and a one-on-one coaching service available to you to help you get out of your own way and be happy. So head on over to geekpsychology.com to get started. See you there.